Welcome to the Dominion Embassy broadcast. You're about to hear a kingdom living message from Reverend Kofi Asa of Dominion Embassy, a ministry committed to unveiling our Lord Jesus Christ and his kingdom system. Reverend Kofi Asa is also a pastor at the Prevailing Word Chapel. Please sit back and enjoy this anointed and insightful message.
Father, we thank you for your presence already with us. We honor you in Jesus' name. Amen. Matthew 6:24, no man can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will hold to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon. May the Lord add his blessing to the reading of his word. Amen. So we are starting a series of messages on the economy of the kingdom. Economy just means the financial matters. It is one of the 26 components of the kingdom of God. Every kingdom has got an economy. But before we do that, I want us to understand very clearly that what has brought us this far. We have been talking about preparing for God's kingdom to be manifest in our lives. And we did about four teachings on that. First of all, we spoke about waiting on God, the need for us to be intimate with God, be personal with God, and get to the presence of God for him to impart our lives. That is very important. And then we followed up with the subject of following his star, 1 and 2. And there we spoke about the fact that we need to be guided by God. We need to be led by God. We need to live our lives in obedience to God in order for us to get to the place that God has prepared for us. And then last of all, the fourth thing we spoke about in kingdom preparation is the subject we did last week on Jacob and Esau. And basically we said that we have to change our lifestyle. We talked about lifestyle, the lifestyle of hunters and the lifestyle of nurturers or cultivators. And we encourage ourselves that it is good to wait upon the Lord. It is good to be led by God, to obey him. But we need to work on our lifestyle also and change our lifestyle to one that will give us the rule, the ability, the blessing of God, the kingdom of God coming into our lives. Now, I've gone through this little introduction because sometimes when we speak about financial things, people think that all that you talk about is money. Hallelujah. So today we want to look at the economy of the kingdom of God. Like I said, economy is just talking about the financial affairs of the kingdom of God. Every kingdom or every nation has an economy, has got financial affairs, and normally it is at the center of the nation's life. It is in the middle of the nation's life. It is the master which is in control of the nation's life. Now, when it comes to your life, there are two things that are in the center, potentially. There are two things that are in the center, like the two trees in the middle of the Garden of Eden. Two things. God always gives us options and does not make us robots. So there are always two things in the center of your life, and you are a kingdom, if you must know. And these things potentially can be the master in control of your life. The first one is God, and the second one is mammon. The Bible says that you cannot serve God and mammon. The effect of serving God, mammon is just talking about riches, which has been deified. It is money, simply put, that has been personified or made a person. Jesus actually inferred that money was not just a paper or a coin, but riches, there is a spirit behind it. And he referred to it as Chaldean word that was incorporated during Jesus' time. He referred to it as mammon. I see that he is the only person who speaks about that spirit, Mammon. He talked about it twice or so. Also in the book of Luke chapter 16, he spoke about that. Now, the effect, I am a little in a hurry because of our time. But the effect of serving God, effect of making God be the one at the center of your economy, at the center of your financial affairs, is that you are going to have life. It's going to minister life. It's like the tree of life in the middle of the garden. It's going to minister life unto you. And in addition, it's going to make Mammon serve you. Mammon should not be served by us. It must rather serve us. It will serve us, and we will control it and master it only when we make the Lord or God the center of our financial affairs. Now, the effect of serving Mammon or riches is like the effect of the tree of knowledge of good and evil. Riches is a very tricky thing. It's like that tree that combines good and combines evil at the same time. It's like that tree that is hot and cold. It is lukewarm. It has some of everything. So it is very deceptive, and it looks very palatable and very acceptable for you to save money. Because various reasons can be alluded. Well, it is why we are living around, and it is how I can do things and stuff like that. But at the end of the day, that deception is going to minister death, because the tree of the knowledge of good and evil only ministers death. It's a mixed up, confusing thing if you follow money, but in the end, it is going to minister death like the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. Now, it is not an easy thing to teach about economics or financial affairs, especially to our people, especially to people like black people. It is not easy because our culture poses a little difficulty with that. But I want us to start from the beginning, and I want us to lay a very good foundation. The Bible actually has got a lot to say about finances and economics, because finances means a lot to human life on earth. I believe that God would have done us injustice. He would have done human beings injustice if he did not give us his mind about the rival, deceptive God called Mammon or money. Hallelujah. So I want us to just take it from the beginning, and we will not go even into the Old Testament, because I realize that people have got a problem, more especially with the New Testament when it comes to finances. But the Old Testament is very clear that all those who serve the Lord, God elevated them and made them rich. All of them, all of the heroes, all of them were abundantly supplied with. But let us come to the New Testament, and I want us to first of all look at the law of emphasis. Can we all say the law of emphasis? Now, Jesus, when he came on earth, spoke 53 parables. Of the 53 parables, 39 of them was literally about finances. It was literally illustrated with money. It was literally illustrated with economics or financial things or words. Okay. Now, the 39 parables that directly, literally talks about finances forms almost 70% of the teachings of Jesus. It is almost 3/4 of what Jesus Christ taught. Now, that makes us to understand that by the law of just emphasis, we know that the subject of economics is very important to the Lord in our lives on this earth. The subject of finances is very important to the Lord as far as our life on this earth is concerned. That is why in being relevant to us, he had to speak copiously. Almost 70% of what Jesus Christ taught was on finances. But somebody will say that, but pastor, then why did he not have a problem with finances? He did not have a problem with finances because the society, the Jewish society at the time and still now, are people who are very open to issues about finances. They are people who have been taught by their law and by their revered prophets that if you live in obedience to God, there is one sign that God is with you, that God has blessed you. That sign is that you will have riches. Deuteronomy 28 says that very clearly. And they believe in the Pentateuch. They believe in the Patriarchs. They believe in Abraham, Isaac, Jacob. They believe in the law of Moses. They live their lives by it. They know that if God is with us, he will give us money. That is how the Jewish society is like. But our society somehow is averse to money. So when you speak about things concerning finances, they brush you aside. That stop speaking about finances, speak about something else. But that one is not the voice of God. Hallelujah. I believe that partly the reason why people have this kind of allergy to hearing about finances, especially Christians, is because of abuse in times past. Because people went ahead to do certain things which about financial matters, which kind of put a sore grip, so to speak, in the mouth of people. And nevertheless, that does not mean that God did not speak so much about our finances. Okay. Now, after speaking to you about the law of emphasis, I want us to go to look at the law of occurrences, the law of first occurrences. Or if you put it in modern language, everyday language, the law of first impressions. Can we all say first impressions? Now, I want us to understand that in the Bible, there is what is called the law of emphasis. That shows the importance of something. That is why it's spoken over and over again. Now, there is also the law of first occurrence. The law of first mention. Or if you like, the law of first impression. In the Bible, that makes us to understand how God deems or looks at certain things as important or not important. Now, if you look at the life of Jesus, there are five things of first mention or first occurrence in his life that makes us to understand the importance God attaches to our understanding of financial matters as it pertains to the kingdom of God or the economy of the kingdom of God. Now, the first thing at the end of today, you should have about 10 points if we are able to finish it today. But the first thing I want us to know is that the number one, the very first thing that Jesus was supernaturally anointed to receive was gold. The first thing Jesus was supernaturally anointed, because he had not started working yet. He was around the age of 2. But the first thing Jesus was supernaturally anointed to attract or to receive was gold. Or in modern terms, it was money. It was finance. He received it from the treasuries of wise men. That various commentaries says to us that they were kings from the east. From their treasures, the Bible says that they presented, first of all, unto Jesus money. They gave him power over money, wisdom over money. So Jesus, when he was on earth from the beginning of his life, did not have money problems on this earth. If you think that he was poor, the Bible makes us to know clearly. He himself said it, John chapter 12 verse 8. He distinguished himself from poor people when he said just before he died that the poor you have with you always, but me you do not have. It means that he doesn't count himself as poor. Says that you have the poor always with you, but me you do not have. That makes us to understand that Jesus himself did not regard himself as a poor person, from his own words. So the first thing Jesus supernaturally attracted was finance. Now, number two, the first anointing that Jesus declared himself was upon him was to break the back of poverty by preaching the gospel to the poor. The first anointing, Luke chapter 4 verse 18, he said, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. It takes an anointing, supernatural anointing, to preach the gospel to the poor. In the Greek, the word translated poor is the word translated beggar. To preach the gospel to the beggar. Why does he have to do that? Obviously to destroy what makes him a beggar and what makes him poor. Says that I am anointed, first of all, to do this thing. Hallelujah. Now, may God give us the grace and the anointing to give people the know-how to walk out of poverty in the name of Jesus. You need that grace that was upon Jesus, whereby he was able to preach to people to get them out of poverty.
We'll be back briefly to continue with the word. Dominion Embassy is a non-denominational teaching ministry, and our mission is to enable people to rule in life through acknowledging the treasure of the Lord in them. Our purpose is to teach about the treasure of the Lord, namely Jesus and his kingdom system. Our vision is to fully acknowledge the person, principles and performance of Jesus for mankind to teach the kingdom system of God. And our strategy is to bring the kingdom message and ways of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ to practical living, teaching and preaching, literature, seminar and audio visuals, all in the subliminal style of Jesus Christ. Welcome to the Dominion Embassy broadcast.
May that grace come upon your life. May we also have the anointing that he had when he was 2 years old to receive finances in the name of Jesus Christ. Now, the third thing I want to speak to you about the law of first occurrence is not just that the first thing was for him to be supernaturally anointed, and the first anointing he declared that was that he was to preach the gospel to the poor, but the first miracle the Bible clearly teaches, John 2:11, Jesus performed was to supply a physical need at a wedding. That was the first miracle. Obviously, the couple were broke and they were not in a position to procure more wine. So when his mother came to him and said that they have no wine, Jesus Christ had to intervene and provide abundance of wine. And I've taught you here in this place that this miracle is a prototype of all his miracles. All the miracles of God must follow this trend. That is why it is the beginning. I showed you the cluster concept, that anything that God gives you is not just one thing, but it is many things in one. So your salvation is not just one thing, it is many things in one, including prosperity, including doing well. When the Lord opens a door for you, it is not just one door that is open, but several other things have been opened. Don't just be content with that one thing and just be satisfied and go away. Seek the Lord for the other blessing in the cluster. There is a cluster concept in the first miracle. In the Greek, the Bible, when it said that this beginning of miracle, the Greek word, the root of it, is talking about this principle of miracles. And it's wonderful for you to know that. May the Lord give us anointing. May he give us the grace that was upon the Lord Jesus, whereby we can intervene in the social conditions of people and save them from embarrassment. 2 Corinthians chapter 9 verse 8 says that God is able to make all grace abound towards you, so that having all sufficiency in all things, you can abound unto every good work, as the Lord Jesus Christ abounded during the time of the first wedding, or the wedding that he attended. All right. Number four, the law of first occurrence. It's not just the first thing, or the first anointing, or the first miracle, but the first introduction, so to speak, to his top three apostles, Peter, James, and John. His introduction to the church, the head of the church, Peter, James, and John, was to supply their need for fish abundantly. This occurred in the book of Luke chapter 5 verse 9. Peter, James, and John were not used to Jesus. They had fished all night. They hadn't caught anything. Jesus came along and he said, look, I want to preach to these people. Let me sit in your boat. They allowed Jesus Christ because somehow they believed that he was a prophet. And then Jesus preached to the crowd from his boat. Afterwards, he told them to launch out into the deep because I want to end your frustration with finances. Launch out onto the deep and let down your net for a catch. Now they did that, and the Bible says that they enclosed so much fish in their boat that it began to sink. I don't know whether you can take it when I tell you that when he said that let us go into the deep, what he was doing was that he took the church, Peter, James, and John, to the kingdom system in the garden. In the Greek, the word deep, the root meaning is the word eli. Let us go to the beginning. Let us go to the eli. And then he took them to the eli, into the situation, the condition of being rulers in the Garden of Eden. And then he gave them abundance of fish. Because if you read the book of Genesis chapter 1 verse 26, the Bible makes us to understand that God said, let us make man in our image, and this is the flesh blessing. And he said, let them have dominion over the fish of the sea. So he took them to the beginning and gave them so much power over money that when they came to the shore, the money did not rule them. The money did not control them. The Bible says that they left everything, and there was a bonanza, a feast at the shore, because the red fish, big ones, a boat full of fishes, more than one boat. The other people, James and John, who were partners with Jesus, also came around. They filled both boats and they started to sink. All of them, the fishmongers, it was a dash. They said, how much is this? Peter says, no, this is not for sale. It is a dash. He supplied the needs of all those fishmongers. He gave them capital for money. Jesus is extraordinary. Peter, when he saw this thing, he bowed himself, the Bible says, together with James and John, the leaders of the church, and said, depart from us, because we are sinners and you are not. Because the Jews believed, if God is with you, if God was with Peter, he should have caught the fishes. He said, no, you were a special person. That was the introduction that Jesus gave to the church, restoring unto us the dominion over finances, over money, so that money will not control us. And I pray for you in the name of Jesus Christ that you'll have so much money that the money will mean nothing unto you. Because when you have little and somebody takes even the little, you can kill for it. And sometimes you can even deny your faith for it. But when God gives you abundance and you cannot count it, it means nothing really unto you. May God bless us in such a way that money will not control us, but we will control money, have total kingdom or dominion over money. Hallelujah. Number five, the first three recorded temptations involved Jesus being tempted with the kingdoms of this world and the glory of them. Now, what I'm teaching you is not a normal thing that people teach you. What you are hearing may be something new to you. But you see, sometimes we can block the word of God when we have not studied it for ourselves. We can block it by our traditions, which we have heard, by certain things which are not really what the Bible teaches. I pray for you that you open up even as you understand the economy of the kingdom of God and what God has to say concerning the rival. That in our text, he said that you cannot serve. You don't serve mammon. You don't serve money. Money serves you. Money is your servant. May you receive that grace in Jesus' name. Now, the first three recorded temptations of Jesus, in fact, the only recorded temptations of Jesus at the very beginning involved Jesus being tempted with the world and the glory of them. Matthew chapter 4 verse 8. I'm speaking to you about the law of first occurrence. I believe that just like Jesus, you will also be tempted with finances. You'll be tempted with money. As a preacher, you would be. As a Christian, you will be. As a human being, you will be. But may God give us his grace not to compromise yourself, not to compromise God's word, not to compromise your assignment, not to compromise what God has said for the money of the whole world. Because he said in his word that what will it profit a man if he gains the whole world and the glory of them and he loses his soul? So there is no way you can put one soul in the riches of the world and think that it is better to choose the riches of the world or compromise yourself and compromise what God has said for the riches of the world. May God give you that grace so that when you are being tempted wrongly to turn some stones into bread, you will not do that. You will say that man shall not live by bread alone. Hallelujah. And when you are tempted to worship the Lord so that you will get all the kingdoms of the world and the glory of them and all of the riches of them, you will say that I will not bow unto you. Because the Bible says that you shall worship only the Lord. He should be at the center of your life. It is not mammon or the tree of the knowledge of good and evil that presents lukewarmness and neutrality, acceptability to man, but ministers death unto us in the end. Now, I want us to answer this question very quickly. Why did Satan tempt Jesus Christ with the kingdoms of the world and the glory of them? In other words, why was it a temptation? Why did Satan think that if I present this one, Jesus will fall? Why? Why was the world, the kingdoms of the world and the glory of the kingdom, why was it a temptation, a correct temptation for Jesus? I can give you the answer. Very simply, it is because the devil knew that Jesus was after it. And if he presented to him and add the fact that he should worship him, Jesus would do that. Because he knew that that was his ultimate, to get the kingdoms of this world and the glory of them. It's not the spiritual world. It's this literal world and the glory of them. Hallelujah. A time will come in the millennial, you understand why Jesus was tempted with the world, the kingdoms of this world, and the glory of them. Because he will sit as a king, as a president, and he will rule the world, not spiritually, physically, because he died for it, because he obtained it. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So, ladies and gentlemen, I believe that the law of emphasis and the law of first mention or occurrence, if you look at these five things I've gone through with you, makes us to understand the importance God attaches to finances. He attaches to you doing well in this life. Shows that God wants us to be open to having his mind about our finances. Because God did not create anybody or any group of people to live in perpetual poverty. It is not like God. It is contrary to everything, even to the logic of creation. Because if you just look at the law of logic, you will get to understand that God did not just create one thing. In other words, when he was creating animals. He didn't just create one cat. You understand that? When he was creating snakes, he didn't just create one snake. When he was creating fishes, he did not just create one fish. He created them in abundance. You came from
heaven to earth. I hope you've been blessed by the word. In case you've not accepted Jesus as your Lord and personal Savior, kindly say this after me. Dear God, I repent towards you and sin. Come into my heart. I make you Jesus my Lord and Savior. Thank you for forgiving all my sins already, saving me from hell and accepting me into your kingdom as your royal child. In Jesus' name, amen. For this and other kingdom messages and books from Dominion Embassy, call 020-8078-535. Visit our website at www.dominionembassygh.org or our offices at No. 1 Karat Avenue, Eric Warden Street, near Zoom Lion offices, off Queen of Peace Academy, West Anaji Estate, Takoradi, Ghana. God richly bless you. Lord, I lift your name.